You have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Exodus, chapter number 33. There are moments in Scripture when God draws unusually close to His people. These are not some ordinary moments, especially for those that is getting close to. But these are divine intersections where heaven literally meets earth. Moses experienced it on the mountain. Elijah had experienced this in a cave. The disciples experienced it out on a storm. And poor blind Bartimaeus experienced it on the side of a road. The truth is this, that God still passes by His people even today. Whether it's through His presence, through His Word, His Spirit, and His power, He still passes us by today. So this morning I want to think about when God passes by. When God passes by. Exodus chapter 33, and we'll read just one verse this morning, verse number 22. Exodus 33 and verse number 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I want to focus on while my glory passeth by. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, God, that Your Spirit is felt amongst us today. And God, we're thankful that You pass by, and in the moment of that passing by, how we are never the same. God, we're thankful for Your grace this morning. And I pray there's one here that is lost and undone without You, God, that You would convict their heart. Lord, that they be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, that one that maybe is backslidden, wandering around in sin, God, we pray that You'd convict them as well, that they repent and return to You. And Lord, for whatever You do in this place this morning, we'll be careful to give You the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have just a few ideas for us this morning as we think about when God passes by. First off, where there are moments when God draws near to us. Moses had longed for God's presence, and you can read this in the verses preceding what we read, and how he was really longing to be in the presence of God. And then we find where God responded here in verse 22. Throughout Scripture, we find where God has passed by in key moments in people's lives. He had passed by Moses on the mountain. He passed by Elijah in the cave. If you wanted to go back to 1 Kings 19, you'll find that. He passed by blind Bartimaeus as he was there on the roadside. He passed by the disciples that were in the storm. There are countless instances where God has passed by, whether it be the Spirit of God throughout the Old Testament, or whether it be Christ passing by as you'll go through the New Testament. You can find many times where Christ went by and people were healed or people were delivered, where the Spirit fell upon at the day of Pentecost when some 3,000 souls were saved and added on to the church. And so it's still, God still draws near to His people in special moments. What are these moments for us? It's in those storms of our lives. We have so many of those. It's in that time of silence. If you have that quiet time with God, it's during our time of worship when God passes by. Or perhaps it's even like many in times of desperation when God passes by. Secondly, we find that there are moments when God draws near. But also when God passes by it is with purpose. It is with purpose. He is not wandering around when he passes by. He is working. He comes to reveal himself, as we find in Exodus chapter 34. He comes to strengthen faith, as the psalmist talks about in Psalm 16. He comes to bring comfort, as he talks about in John chapter 14, to give direction and to display his glory. These are things that God is doing when he passes by. There is a purpose for that. There's a song by the Greens. It's a gospel song that's entitled, "I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand." Y'all have heard that song? It's a beautiful song. If you heard the story behind that, he and his wife were at the end of their rope. They had almost bankrupted themselves. They'd lost a child, and they were held to some other things going on in their life. They was literally about to lose everything. And they was sitting at the coffee table and praying out to God for deliverance, praying that God would get them out of the situation that they was in. And it was in that lonely and darkness of night, and his wife came in and she just began to play on the piano just to break up the silence. And Green said that he began to pin down the words, "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." Dear friend, that's what happens when God passes by. He always passes by with purpose, and sometimes it is in those small, silent moments of desperation when he comes by. He comes by, in number three, in unexpected ways. Unexpected ways. Moses had expected thunder, perhaps a storm, but God came in goodness. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, he expected wind and fire, and yet he came in a small voice. The disciples out on the storm, and or on the sea in the storm, with the waters raging and the rain coming down, they expected rescue. But instead, Jesus comes walking on the water. God may not move the way that you expect Him to, but He always moves the way you need Him to. Isaiah 55 says that His ways are higher than our ways. And dear friend, we will never understand fully the ways of God. We don't know why things happen the way they happen. We don't know why some people go through the things that they go through. That's not for us to determine. But nonetheless, His ways are higher than ours. And sometimes we may be expecting God to do something or to move a certain way or to make something happen. But He doesn't move and He doesn't work that way. He doesn't do the way we expect. He always moves the way we need. And we need to trust in Him. We must position, fourthly this morning, position ourselves for that passing glory. God told Moses that there is a place by me. There's a place by me, and to experience God passing, then we must stand in a place of prayer. We must be in a place of prayer, also in a place of obedience. This is a hold up for a lot of people. Obedience and also in a place of surrender. Those two things must happen. We must be obedient to what God has called us to do. We must be obedient to do as God has told us to do. And we must fully surrender ourselves to Him. We need to stand in the cliff of the rock. Who is this cliff? It's Christ. It's Christ Himself. We need to place ourselves with Him. God has a place prepared for you to experience Him. The book of James talks about in James chapter 4, he said, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. When God passes by, we are never the same. We're never the same. After God passed by Moses, his face shone. People could tell that he had been with God. His confidence grew in the fact that he knew he could do what God has called him to do, and his calling deepened. Regardless of what may happen, he was ready to do that God had called him to do. After Jesus passed by people in the New Testament, they were never the same. You think about the blind, they saw again. Oh, the deaf, they heard again. The lame walked again. The broken were restored. The fearful were strengthened. I think about a woman who had the issue of blood for some 12 years and had, matter of fact, fixed her last meal for her and her son to eat. And the Bible says that they were to eat and to die because they had fixed or had spent all that they had. She'd been to every physician in town. She'd been to all the best doctors. She tried every program imaginable. But she still had sickness. And it's funny that as Christ was heading to somewhere else, matter of fact, he was going to Jairus' daughter who was dead. So on his way to a death call, going to raise her, by the way, all the way to that, he happened to be going down this lady's neighborhood. And he happened to be going down a street. And that street just happened to be close to where this lady was. Now, isn't it interesting that this lady had spent all that she had and she had sought everything she had sought after and still didn't have a cure, but she knew of Christ, because she knew that Christ had healed others. Apparently news spreads, right? Especially in small town, right? So she had heard all that, and the Bible says that she said within herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Jesus was going through, and you can read this, I believe it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, around the 9th through 11th chapters, depending on what book you go to. The crowds were all around Christ. He was walking down the street, and this lady, now keep in mind, historically, culturally, a sick person would have to yell, unclean, unclean, before they could make their way through the streets because nobody wanted to catch it. So they would clear a path, kind of like COVID. Y'all remember that? Where we had to stay 6 feet apart from each other. Don't touch me. Don't sneeze. Don't even look at me wrong, right? That's kind of how it was in this day and time. They had to yell unclean to even go down the street so people could get out of the way. They didn't want to catch or have whatever it was. But the Bible never mentions that this woman did that. Which tells me that she didn't allow the policies or the politics of their day. She didn't allow the laws and the rules and the regulations to stop her from getting to Jesus. And the moment that she grabbed a hold of his garment, she was healed. Of course, Jesus, this is paraphrasing, right? This is the Gates translation, if you will. Jesus said, who has touched me? And all the disciples around him says, Lord, what do you mean? Look at all these people around you. When you're going to ask who touched you, we all have touched you. And he said, no, there was a virtue that left me. Her faith touched and made contact with Christ. And Christ said, daughter, be of good faith, for your faith has made you whole. When God passes by, we are never the same. This woman was never the same. She was no longer just a woman with an issue of blood. She became a daughter. She was no longer on death's bed, but she was alive and well. When God passes by, we're never the same. One moment in God's presence can change everything. No one encounters His presence and stays the same. And dear friend, I will say this, if you are the same, then it wasn't God that you encountered. We are never the same. God is still passing by today. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people in recent years talking about, well, that's old school. That's not relevant today. Church isn't relevant today. God is still passing by. God is still drawing near. God still reveals His glory. God still changes lives. God still heals. We've heard testimonies even in the last few weeks of God's healing. I was talking to a pastor friend on the way in this morning, and in the midst of my stressful Memphis roundabout. Another story for another time, but needless to say, I went through the same street twice, or I had to do detours twice, and that's why I was late this morning. But nonetheless, talking to him on the way, his wife had stage 4 cancer and was told, you won't have much longer to live. Went to the doctor a month ago, and there's no cancer found. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the saving business. No matter as wretched and vile as one may be, He can still save you. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Today, I want to challenge you to position your heart, to stand in the place that He has prepared, just like Moses stood in this mountain as God had prepared that place. Let His glory pass by. And while it passes by, let it transform you. Let it be what it needs to be in your life. I don't know what your heart is this morning. I would love to think that we're all saved and that we're all okay with God and we're all going to heaven. I hope that. But there may be one that is not. Maybe this morning we're not where we need to. We are saved and maybe we're not where we need to be. Can I encourage you this morning to position your heart, to give full obedience, full surrender to the Lord, and see what He'll do in your life. Do you need a miracle? Some say, well, miracles don't happen today. I still believe miracles happen. Every moment that we are still breathing is a miracle from God. Every birth is a miracle from God. Every testimony of one getting saved is a miracle from God. Do we need deliverance today? Maybe we need a personal revival. Would you position your heart for that? I encourage you to surrender and obediently follow. Hymn of invitation will be extended. This is your moment to do whatever it is that you need to do with God. This salvation, I encourage you to be saved, to call on the name of the Lord. It's really plain and simple. Maybe it's simply, Lord, I haven't lived like I need to, and I want to dedicate my life to You. Would You do that this morning? Or maybe you just need to take a moment to thank God for what He's done in your life. Whatever it is, as we sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling me home.
My eyes and hearts are clear. If not, I'm here for you. Be glad to talk with you, pray with you, whatever we need to do. Anything needs to be said before we dismiss this morning? If not, I do encourage you to continue to pray for the Jed Daniels family. We're going to be burying this afternoon. Pray for me as I travel back home and lay him to rest, all right? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful, God, that you still pass by. Lord, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your presence here in this place and in our lives. And God, I pray as we go back out into the world this week, God, that you would help us to be a light that shines in dark times. And Lord, help us to be an encouragement to those who maybe are disheartened and troublesome. God, lead us to those who are lost without you, that they may be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, grant us traveling grace as we travel, and Lord, that you would bring us back at the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.